Hi, and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now. Locally dial 216-901-0933 or toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Join the conversation live with Pastor Al. And now, here's your late night host, Pastor Al Davis.
Good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, and I'll be with you until midnight tonight, right here on AM 1220, The Word. I hope you'll be able to join with us and maybe even give us a call tonight. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can call us toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673, and we'll get you on the air with your Bible questions or question about current events in light of God's Word, and certainly hope you'll be able to stick with us until midnight tonight. A little chilly out there. It was 35, I think it was, when I left my house here to come up to the radio station this evening. That's getting chilly. And so far here in our area, we've dodged most of the snow, but a little south of here down in Mansfield, Ohio, they had a bit of snow here earlier this week. Hope you're doing well after the storms that came through this past week. And certainly our prayers go out to the people who in some cases are still without power. Certainly New York, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania, places like that. A number of people hard hit. Even some people here in northeastern Ohio, Cleveland area, apparently had a number of people out, power outages for a while. And fortunately, where I live, we just had a few flickers, and my dad just had a few flickers, and some other people I talked to had it out for just a little while, but not long at all. But some places they were out for day, two, 3 days. And certainly Mother Nature comes in with a vengeance sometimes and shows us just how little mankind really is in the face of major storms like what hit the East Coast and came all the way inland. I remember watching my barometer drop Monday night, and it just kept dropping by Tuesday. I thought it was going to go all the way down to the bottom there before it finally stopped. And it's just amazing to see the weather and how things went, the winds and everything. But I hope you're safe, and if you have any damage, that you're able to get cleaned up, and everything is going well with you and your family. But let's go ahead and open our program this evening with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air tonight. We do pray for those that are suffering damages and still recovering from Sandy and the remnants of Sandy. And I just pray that you have blessed them and help them and help them get the help that they need, get their power back on if that's what needs be, get their roads opened up and no places still having problems with water and things. Lord, I just pray that you'd be with them. And Lord, I do pray that you'd raise up Christians in those areas that are hard hit. They can be a help and a blessing to their neighbors and those around them, and they can be a good witness for you, and that people would come to Christ through this tragedy. Father, again, we just thank you for your blessing and protection, and we know that the damage could have been far worse than what it was. And I just pray that you would bless, Lord, and watch over us now. Father, bless the program tonight. Help us to be a blessing and encouragement to somebody here this evening. And Lord, we do pray, if it possible, something we talk about tonight that you could use to point people to Christ that they might be saved. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, as I said, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, and we're a live talk radio program. We talk about the Bible and current events in light of God's Word. If you've got a question in those areas, certainly we've got a lot going on, and we'll get to our callers here momentarily, but it's 888-677-9673. And I also wanted to let you know, if you're having problems with the signal, and sometimes if you're in an area where the weather's a little bad, the signal, or if you're on the fringes of the broadcast area, you can go on to whkradio.com. That's whkradio.com, and there will be a link there where you can listen live. You just click that, and you can hear this program streaming live on the internet anywhere, literally tonight. And also on our website at live.maplenoel.us. That's the website for our radio program, live.maplenoel.us. We endeavor to put up copies of our previous programs. They're up there for at least a couple of months or so, and you can hear past programs there at live.maplenoel.us. And, of course, you can certainly listen on the air and give us a call. And we have, it looks like, Elaine calling tonight. And, Elaine, welcome. You're on live. Hello?
Hello?
Hello. Are you Elaine?
No, this is Jason.
Oh, I'm sorry. I looked at the wrong one up there. I was looking on the, sorry about that. We've got Jason in Cleveland. I'm sorry. You don't sound like Elaine, that's for sure. So glad to have you. Welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al.
Thank you. I just had a question. I keep seeing, I don't want to say seeing, a lot of things have happened this past couple of days. I have been one of those who suffered a little bit. My family's been out of power since Tuesday,
mm-hmm.
and we're still out of power. There's been a lot of events that have been taking place this past, very short period of time. My brother just recently found a church that he's gone to, and the family has been very opposed to that, considering our background.
Mm-hmm.
And I've found myself thinking back of all the early Bible teachings that I was taught in my parents' religion, and I keep seeing things like Lot's wife, don't turn back,
right?
And Job, how everybody persecuted Job. I remember something about his wife. Even his wife said, curse God and die. And I liken that to my brother, and my family is telling me, look at him. He's found the Baptist church or whatever. I don't even know what church it was. I'm very scared. I feel like I'm very scared right now as to the things that are happening, and I'm not really sure what to do.
All right. I guess, and if I understand what you're asking about or looking at here, it can be very confusing sometimes. And, first and foremost, when it comes to churches and not just churches, but our life in general, is we need to make sure of our personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ.
Okay.
You see what I'm saying with that?
I understand.
Yeah, because our family is not going to get saved for us. But our family can keep us from being saved. And that's something that, first and foremost, every person listening has to come to a point in time where they realize they're a sinner, lost and alienated from God, and that they and you and I and everybody listening deserves hell. That's what we deserve, because we're all sinners. We've all come short of the glory of God, the Bible tells us. And so that's what we deserve. But by the grace of God, Jesus Christ died on the cross and shed his blood to pay for our sins. So every single person, in the world needs to first and foremost make sure of their relationship with Christ. They need to know that they're saved. They need to know that their sins are forgiven. And do you know that yourself?
Well, that's what my brother told me yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also new to me that he said, listen, just take this word that I'm giving you, and take it for what it is. And if you don't want to, agree to it. So he gave me this little handheld like Bible, and there was a prayer in there that said about how I understood that I was saved by Jesus Christ, and he did die for us. And then tonight I'm listening on a radio station that I never even listened to ever.
Mm-hmm.
I just happened to come across it, and I hear that if you have Bible questions, give a call. And you're telling me the exact same thing that he told me last night. And then I think back, and then I look at myself, and I go, well, am I just a doubter then? Is that just what I am? I'm just going to doubt it all and not know. So I try to think back of,
mm-hmm.
what I'm supposed to do. But I do understand exactly what you're saying.
Right.
And I feel like it just keeps coming, I don't know.
Yeah, and if you think about it, God created us, so it's his responsibility, to make himself known, to us. And that's, what he gave us the Bible for, of course. And then not only the Bible, but that's what he's called believers to do. People who know Christ as their Savior, our responsibility, Jesus himself said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. And, so if your brother has you know, trusted Christ as his Savior, then certainly he's got a, you know, if he's got a burden for you, certainly he has an obligation and should have a burden for you and to share the gospel with you. But see, amazing thing happens when somebody shares the gospel with somebody who's never trusted Christ as their Savior. The Holy Spirit begins working in their heart. And this is the amazing thing about the Word of God. It's not like words of man. They're living words in the sense that when the Holy Spirit begins to move upon a person's heart, things in the Bible begin to sort of stand out. And
and then you
get this unrest and you want to know, you know, what happens to me when I die? Am I going to, you know, just cease to exist, or am I going to go someplace, a good place, a bad place? And we hear so many things, you know, you can turn on the radio and hear all kinds of stuff. And,
sure, yes.
Yeah. And so there's a natural thing, because you think about it, how many times do you get to die? I mean, you know, most people only die once, and then after that, you know, what happens to you?
The internet out there, you never know what to think.
Exactly, and that's where I would suggest, first and foremost, we're speaking in English, obviously. I would get a King James version of the Bible. And a lot of people steer away from that, but I steer people toward that for a variety of reasons. One, it's truer to the accuracy, it's truer to the original languages. And there's a variety of reasons for that without getting tied down into that right now. But in the King James Version of the Bible, it's taking the original verses, which were in Hebrew or Greek, and they're putting them into the English language. And English really was at its probably at its best and in the 1600s. That's also the same time frame, generally speaking, when Shakespeare was writing and a lot of the greatest classical works of English. And the King James Bible really helped make that possible. And
it comes out of England? Does that came from England?
Right, right. And in our country, in America, you'll find it, you know, King James Bible is usually what you'll find it called, or sometimes you'll see it referenced as the King James Authorized Version or something like that. I lived for 3 years in England, and over there they simply call it the Authorized Version, but it's the same thing. But without getting bogged down in that at the moment, and there's a lot of other issues with that, but the King James Bible clearly tells us, here you start going through it, in the book of Romans in the New Testament, there's a passage in chapter 3 that clearly tells us that we've sinned and come short of God's glory, and the Bible as a whole presents God as perfect, you know, no falsehood in him, no error in him, all of those sorts of things, and we're not. Because we sin and we have a sin nature. The sin nature makes us sin. We don't become sinners because we've done sufficient sins. We do that because that's our nature. And because that's our nature, that's where the Bible uses the expression in John chapter 3 that you must be born again, because we need a spiritual birth. And if you got questions, interrupt me at any time. But
I appreciate I appreciate your words. It's like you're telling me the exact same thing that he told me last night. We had a conversation. It was very eye opening for me.
It could be that the Lord is using this, because the Bible talks about out of the mouth of two or three witnesses let a thing be established, and it may be that because the Holy Spirit's working in your heart. And your brother was talking to you, and God begins working in your heart, and you're searching for confirmation, you're searching and wondering, you know, what to make of all this. And like you said, you turn on, you find out our program is saying, if you got questions about the Bible, give us a call. And
I appreciate that very much.
I know that this is a lot that we're talking about, and your brother and you probably talked a lot more than just a few minutes.
Absolutely.
I would encourage you to get with him and ask some more questions, because, you know, the Bible clearly gives us our relationship without Christ and tells us that, you know, we sin and come short of God's glory. But, you know, the big thing that we can understand from the Bible is that we cannot earn our way to heaven. And this is one of the, this sort of thing that we go over in our, we have a Friday night Bible study. Actually, I don't know whereabouts you are in the area, but we're in Richfield, Ohio, which is midway between Akron and Cleveland. And our Friday night Bible study, we spend a couple of hours doing just what we do for an hour here on Friday night, only we do it in person. And we meet at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express. And we try to get through because, see, I don't want to make somebody make a decision when they don't really know what they're doing. And the reason I say that is because when I trusted Christ as my Savior, I went forward in a church three times. The first two times they took me in a back room, they gave me some Bible verses, and then they said, okay, pray this prayer after me, glory be, you're saved. And I didn't feel any different coming out of there than when I went in. The third time I went forward, they said, oh, you don't have to do this, you've already done this, and I knew that I was no different than I was before. Well, thankfully, later that night, I got saved, you know, in spite of the church. And it was a good church. It was a Baptist church. They preached the gospel. That's what I was responding to. But we have
I'm just concerned of the opposition that I feel like, you know, coming in, you know, I'm concerned about the opposition that I received from my wife and family, you know, and, you know, it seems to be turning the family, a little bit right now. I mean, not in a major way, but everyone's looking at him like, look what he got himself into now and this and that. And I'm like, well, wait a second. You know, if he's happy, I went into it thinking, well, if he's happy and that's what he believes, you know, but then I started looking more and more into it. And I started kind of getting a little bit, you know, in fear for what happens if, you know, the end comes, what is,
well, exactly,
the end?
Is it exactly
Armageddon? Is it, you know, I don't know, you know, so I called him because he always has the right answers. He's my older brother, you know, and he kind of shed some light on things, and I can't stop thinking about it since, basically.
Well, and that shows that God's working in your heart, and I'll bet your brother's praying for you. and that's what I was getting back at in the beginning. We can't let our family, you know, keep us from our relationship with God. And what happens oftentimes is, even though family members may be upset or opposed in the beginning, oftentimes they come around themselves. I'm thinking actually of a missionary who's in the South Pacific Islands right now, in the Samoan Islands. He had actually studied to be a Jesuit priest, and his wife had actually studied to be a nun. They met before he took his priesthood vows and before she took her vows to be a nun, and they ended up getting married. And but they were still very staunchly involved in the Roman Catholic Church, but they weren't saved. And when he got saved, he started coming to a church that we started down the Samoan Islands back in the 90s, and he got excited about the things of God. And his wife, oh, she was not at all happy. In fact, she later said that she despised us and despised the church because we had ruined her happy family. Everything was just right, and all of a sudden it was all turned upside down. But, you know, today she's saved, she loves the Lord, and she, in her testimony, tells about how she was so angry, but God changed her heart, and now her and her husband are sharing the gospel with people in the Samoan Islands themselves. And not only that, numbers of their family members who had never been saved thought they were crazy. And numbers of them have trusted Christ as their Savior. And God has a way of working through those things, but He asks us to take things by faith. And one of those things by faith certainly is by faith believing that Jesus paid it all for us when he shed his blood on the cross, and that he paid for our sins. And when we accept that by faith and our sins are forgiven, the Bible says the Holy Spirit takes up residence in our heart. And then we need to take by faith that he'll help us with our family members. And the great thing about that is, even though they may be resistant in the beginning, just like your brother praying for you has put a desire in your heart to find out more about this stuff, as you start praying for other family members, you can see the same thing happen. And think about it. The Bible Message tells us that we're going to spend eternity someplace. And if we trust Christ as our Savior, we're going to spend eternity with the Lord. rather than the alternative, which is the lake of fire, which is eternal punishment. And if that's the case, the only thing we can really take from this world is another person. And the only way we can take another person from this world is, first, we've got to be on our way to heaven ourselves. That's when we trust Christ as our Savior. But then when we reach family members, friends, coworkers, neighbors, whoever, with the gospel, they can come to heaven as well. And that's the amazing thing about this, that God works in us and through us. And, you know, it's the devil's going to fight it, though. And that's why he'll stir up opposition oftentimes. And so I would encourage you, talk with your brother. If you live near the Richfield area and you want to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church where we meet in Richfield at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, we'd love to have you. If you can't make it on a Sunday and you can make it on a Friday night, we got time. We can go over this in detail. But I would certainly encourage you. Sounds like your brother has shared the gospel with you quite a bit. I would ask him questions and ask God to confirm the truth in your heart. I don't want to, you know, force you into making a confession of faith or something just so that I can get a confession of faith over the radio. I want the Holy Spirit to work in your heart to where you know in your heart the truth of the gospel message, and you're willing to put your faith completely in Jesus Christ and Christ alone, not in good works, not in your church, not in your background or anything, but Christ and Christ alone. And hopefully we've been somewhat helpful with that tonight.
Well, you have. Thank you very, very much for your time, and I think my phone might die. Like I said, we haven't had power since Tuesday, but I appreciate you. Your answers to my questions. Thank you very much.
Okay, and give us a call again with other questions, and if you're able and in the area, visit us at the Bible Baptist Church. Love to have you. Love to talk to you and to sit down with the Bible and you know, one-on-one go through these things where we can spend a little more time, a little more detail.
All right, sir. Thank you very much.
All right, and talk to your brother. So,
will do.
All right. Well, Lord bless, and we'll be praying for you. Thank you for calling, Jason. All right, thank you. Of course, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, and I encourage our listeners out there, if you're saved, if you're born again, pray for Jason tonight. It appears God's working in his heart and giving him a hunger and a desire to know more, and you know, we all can have a part to play in somebody's salvation, and one of those parts is simply praying for souls, praying for people, and if you are out there listening and you can remember back when people were praying for you before you were saved, you know the devil's going to throw up all kinds of opposition, doubts, and questions, but you also know the Holy Spirit will work in your heart and get a hold of you. And thank God for Jason's brother. Pray for him, too, that he'll have the right things to say. Sounds like he's pointing him in the right direction. And certainly if Jason can't visit us, hopefully he'll find a good independent Bible-believing Baptist church, preferably, there in his area where he can go and talk with people and they can share the gospel with him in more detail. And certainly we pray for Jason here as well. We're coming up on our break, and we have Elaine calling. We got about 3 minutes, Elaine. If you're there, we'll get you on right now.
Thank you.
Hi, welcome.
Well, you're preaching to the choir because I have just witnessed to someone in the Philippines.
Amen.
And I was thrilled because they were really, you know, really, really seriously considering accepting the Lord as their personal Savior. So I was just thrilled over that. But I also told him then, get yourself a King James Version, a New King James Version of the Bible if you can. It's a little easier to read for some people. But I told him then to find a good Bible preaching church. And I told him I was Baptist.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, go forward. And I said, repent now. Don't wait until later and ask the Lord into your heart because you don't know what will happen between now. But I said, ask the Lord to find you a good church home and he'll lead you.
Right.
And then after that, as I was speaking to him, I said, find yourself a good church home. I said, then go forward again, rededicate your life to the Lord, then follow in baptism.
Mm-hmm.
But I was in a church twice in 1 month. I was in a church today. It was a lovely church, this morning because I was listening to an end time ministry.
Right.
I wanted to hear them preach on that because I know we're so very close, and I follow that very, very closely. But it was apostolic, and not to knock any other faith, but I was shocked because I was out to dinner, and some lovely ladies saw me reading the Bible. They said, "Oh, we know you're saved. Why don't you join us?" So I did, and they said, "How do you know you're saved?" And I told them, "Because Jesus died on the cross for me."
Amen.
And I had asked for forgiveness. I know that his blood covered my sins when he died. He nailed them to the cross, and I asked him into my heart, and I know right there and then he came in. And they said, well, have you been baptized? And I said, yes. And they said, well, you really should be baptized right after receiving the Lord, because if you're not, you're not saved. And I said, oh,
well,
no.
That's a controversy that comes up from time to time.
Yes.
Can you hold over our break?
Absolutely.
Okay, because we're coming
like
up on the
break. Bottom why Peter asked this.
Right. We've got less than a minute to go,
before
our break. So if you can hold, we'll have some announcements. And that's a good subject I'd like to get into maybe in the next half of our program, along with some other things. And I appreciate so hold on there, Elaine. We'll get back to you. And stay tuned. We got another half hour. We'll be with you until midnight tonight, right here on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. So stay tuned for our second half of our program. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express. The Holiday Inn Express is located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, or the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 Cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Because the Bible says, "There is none righteous, no, not one." We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that. Whosoever. That means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing, Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoel.us. You can also visit our website at latenightlive.maplenoel.us. That's latenightlive.maplenoel.us. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you. Now, let's get back to our show. All right, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al right here on AM 1220, The Word. And we're live until midnight tonight. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, feel free to give us a call tonight, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'll get you on the air here this evening. Of course, we're brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, where I'm the pastor. Certainly invite you to visit us there. And we're also brought to you by Frank's Antiques in North Royalton. Frank's Antiques in North Royalton is located at 6668 Royalton Road. And Frank's Antiques in North Royalton is open Tuesday, Friday, and Saturday from noon until 5:30 p.m. And certainly we're into November now. People are starting to think about Christmas time and such like that. And if you're looking for something unusual, old collectible coins, jewelry, Civil War memorabilia, just about anything, including the kitchen sink, I think you probably find at Frank's Antiques in North Royalton. You can give them a call, 440-237-4393. That's 440-237-4393, and let Frank know you heard about Frank's Antiques in North Royalton right here on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Well, we have been talking about some things here this evening regarding salvation, and prior to the break, I was talking with Elaine in Cleveland, and Elaine, are you still with us?
Yes, but I'm from Akron.
Oh, Akron. Okay, I got Cleveland up on the board. Well, I'm more Akron-oriented myself.
That's okay. My daughter's in Cleveland, and
okay.
She was recently saved, and I told her, you pray and ask God to find you a church home. I steered her towards the Baptist faith for one reason, because I know that the Baptist faith believes that Jesus alone
Well, absolutely, absolutely,
and also following baptism does not give you salvation, because you can be under the water but not under the blood.
Exactly.
So I tried to explain to these ladies, because they said, I said, are you saying then that if a soldier gave his life to Jesus just before he died out in a battlefield, where do you think he would go? And they said, well, he would go to hell. And I said, no, he would go to heaven. If he asked the Lord right then and there, really meant it in his heart, Lord, forgive me. I said, just like the thief on the cross. They said,
exactly.
Well, the thief on the cross died under Abraham's. And I said, how could he? They couldn't sacrifice anything. I said, Jesus died first. His legs were he had not broken, because he died for that person on the cross that asked for forgiveness, to remember me, Lord, when you come into your kingdom. He died after Christ, and his legs were broken because it was a high Sabbath. And
right,
for them,
absolutely.
And coming into a high Sabbath. And I said, so Christ died first, and he was the first person that followed Christ then into the kingdom. I said, so they said, no, he died. They died before Christ. I said, no, they did not. They both died after Christ. Christ's legs were never broken. No bones in his body were broken.
And looking at the thief on the cross,
they were referring to Acts 2:38. But I was wondering, why did Peter say it that way?
Oh, absolutely. That's a good verse, and we'll look at that.
Yeah.
And let me just touch on something with the thief on the cross real quick here. And they may be looking at the fact that that the thief died prior to the resurrection, okay, which is true. But regardless of that, he was not baptized.
Well, he said,
he said, today you'll be with me in paradise.
Absolutely.
And he was never baptized regardless.
Neither would a soldier be in a field if he was dying.
Exactly.
Or somebody in a car accident.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you think these people go to hell? I said, when you get to heaven, you're going to be really shocked. Because
right.
These people that have asked the Lord into their heart in the 11th hour, I said, they are still in heaven.
Well, and you know what else is going to be shocking some of these people is that there are people who didn't think that Jesus' death on the cross was sufficient. They thought they had to add baptism as a good work.
Works.
And so they're not going to be in heaven. A lot of
The baptism is something we do
exactly
in following in Christ, because we want Christ asks us to do that. We follow Christ
right
in going down and going down, bearing our sins, and coming up resurrected, just like Christ did. But the thing that and you might have a better explanation of it, but that's how I think of it. But what I'm saying to you is, it is very important that we're baptized.
Out of obedience.
Baptized.
Yeah. And let's look at Acts 2:38 here. Acts 2:38.
It's an act of obedience.
Yeah.
But when we do that, that is works on our part following in Christ.
Right.
What they're saying is Jesus' blood was not sufficient, that it took works from us to complete it.
You're absolutely right. And let me get to Acts 2:38 here.
Please.
You're asking about that. It's very simple. Peter said in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Okay? Now, the question is that little word for, F-O-R. And people like those ladies say that means in order to get the remission of sins, okay? Now, hold that definition in mind. You ever watch an old Western movie? My dad loves to watch Westerns.
I do, too.
And you'll see them come up there, and they'll have, you know, like a picture of Jesse James, and they'll say, Jesse James wanted for bank robbery. Does that mean they're trying to hire him to go rob banks?
No.
Exactly. Why do they say that? They say that because he already robbed the bank. So they want him because he robbed the banks. And that's the key with Acts chapter 2, verse 38. What he's saying is, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. He's saying, because you have the remission of sins.
They come back with the shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost.
Oh, yeah. And these are things that you'll get. And you got to remember, when you read the Bible, we're used to the Western mindset of putting things in a certain order, you know, step one, step two, step three. And in the Bible, you'll frequently see several things here. The repentance is certainly key. He preached the gospel to him. He preached Jesus Christ, who was sacrificed for our sins, in a great sermon there on that day. And they heard those things, and they said, what shall we do? And he said, well, you need to repent. You need to turn from your ways. You need to believe the gospel message.
And that's how I told him.
Exactly. And then you will receive the remission of sins. But along with that, we also know from Scripture that when somebody gets saved, I believe it's in Romans chapter 8, I think about verse 9 or so, or chapter 7 and verse 9, where it says that if you have not the Spirit of Christ, you're none of His. And the moment you get saved, you receive the Holy Ghost. And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 3:16, I think it is, that ye are the temple, meaning the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost. And so at the moment of salvation, you receive the Holy Ghost, the gift of the Holy Ghost, because he takes up residence in you.
Exactly. And we're then, sealed immediately.
Exactly.
Sealed immediately,
he's immediately
God.
In you. But then your first thing you do then is a step of obedience to be baptized. Take a look with me, if you would, over in Acts chapter 22, and you'll see it more clearly there. There's a lot of other passages, but for time's sake here, let me go to Acts chapter 22. The Bible says in Acts chapter 22, verse 16, this statement here, and now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Now, if you look at this carefully, he's just talked about preaching a gospel message. Now, Paul's given an account of how he was saved, and he's talking about preaching the gospel and hearing the gospel, and then being asked the question, which should be asked of somebody who's heard the gospel message. What are you waiting for? Remember, Paul said elsewhere, today is the accepted time, and now is the day of salvation. And so you've heard the gospel, you've understood the gospel. What are you waiting for? Get up. Arise means get up. And then let me break this down. Verse 16 says, and now why tarriest thou? There's a question mark there. says, arise. There's a comma. And then he says, and be baptized. There's a comma. And then it says, and wash away thy sins, another comma, calling on the name of the Lord. When you analyze the grammar in this sentence here, there's three actions that he's calling them. One's to get up and do something with the thing, arise. The second thing he's saying is to be baptized. And then there's a third thing he's saying to do, that's to wash away your sins. And the last clause in that sentence of that verse is calling on the name of the Lord. That modifies the statement, wash away thy sins. See, it's arise, act number one, you know, do something, and be baptized. This is another thing you need to do, comma, and another thing you need to do, wash your sins away. How? Calling on the name of the Lord. So we understand, of course, the order would be to respond to the gospel, call on the name of the Lord, so your sins can be washed away. Right. And then you'll be baptized. But clearly, verse number 16, grammatically, in the English and in the Greek, tells us that be baptized is a separate action from washing away your sins, and that you wash away your sins by not being baptized, but by calling on the name of the Lord. And it's really very clear.
That's exactly right. No, there is. God would not have sent his son into the world if there was any way we could have done it ourselves to be saved and have him face the cross, which he did from the beginning of time, which he knew before time began that he would face the cross.
Exactly.
He never, and people also say, you know, even when he drank from the cup, well, he asked his father to let that pass. They don't realize it meant, is there any other way that I don't have to take the sins on me? Because he didn't know sin. He was pure. Mm-hmm. And then they don't understand the virgin birth, where his Mary's blood never mixed with his. That's why she was a virgin, because he was fully God.
And as she carried him, you know, the mother's blood never mixes with the baby's blood. There's an interface that's set up there through the placenta and the umbilical cord, where the baby's blood is separate entirely from the mother's blood. And they don't mix. It's unique.
And people don't realize why a virgin. Well, because he was fully God.
Mm-hmm.
Fully God. And when he was implanted in her and incarnate through the Holy Spirit, you know, she carried him so he could be a human being, so we could see him.
Another reason, too, is that in the scriptures, we see that sin passes from the father to the children, not from the mother. And that's a very key point. That's why he couldn't have a human father as well. If he had a human father, he would have inherited a sin nature. And as you said previously, he was without sin. He was perfect.
Exactly. And that's why the blood that he shed on the cross was pure.
That's right. It was divine blood. It was divine blood.
That is the only blood that could cleanse us. So
exactly.
I try to explain this, but the thing that really upset me, the church was wonderful. They were so wonderful. But as they asked people to come up, then they also had, you know, a baptism. They said, now you've got to be baptized, you know. And I was like, I was just thinking to myself, so I was talking to this young man, and I said, please remember that we call ourselves Christians, but read the Bible and accept a faith that only Christ can save you.
Right.
Only. And if you go home tonight, on the way home tonight, if God forbid that anything happened to you, and I prayed that he would have traveling mercies, but anything would happen to you, that you would be saved and you would be in heaven. But I said, it is really important that we follow in baptism, but it is not a requirement to enter the kingdom of God.
Elaine, I appreciate those comments here tonight. And
I thank you, and I've taken a lot of your time,
but I
did want to stress that, because it really bothers me.
I appreciate that. And I got just about 10 minutes or so left in the program here tonight, and I got to move on to something I want to cover here before the end of the program.
Thank you for explaining that, why Peter said that, because I was very confused over that verse.
Yeah.
I just did not know why Peter said it the way he did.
It just meant because you've been saved, because your sins have been remitted. It's because of. And if you just think of that, you know, that wanted for train robbery or bank
that's
robbery, that's
it.
The easiest way. Those were not want ads. They weren't, you know, employment ads. They weren't looking to hire a bank robber. They had him up there because he already robbed the bank.
And I understand it. That makes it much more clear to me, and I'll put it back to them. That way the next time, not to have conflict with faith,
right.
Your brothers and sisters
but
in Christ.
At the same time, you want to make sure that they're clear, because you don't want them trusting in a false hope. And appreciate that.
Thank you,
Elaine.
You.
I appreciate your call talking about that. I got one other thing I wanted to bring out yet and discuss yet here this evening. But before I do that, I just got to share a real quick story in along with Elaine's comments there. I talked with a young man one time who had gone to a church where they believe that you had to be baptized in order to be saved, but the pastor preached a gospel message, and he didn't say that in the message. And this guy come under conviction. He went forward. Somebody dealt with him just out of the scriptures and shared with him how to be born again. And he trusted Christ as his Savior. And they told the pastor that he prayed and trusted Christ as his Savior. And he thought the pastor would say, well, amen, or praise the Lord, or something, or even congratulations. And the pastor said, well, you're still not saved. And he said, why not? He said, well, you're not baptized yet. And he said, well, can I get baptized right now? I mean, I don't want to take a chance of dying, you know, come this close and miss out. And something happened to me, I get baptized right away. And the pastor said, we can't do that. He said, why not? He said, well, we don't have any water in the baptistry. It would take a couple days to get a truckload of water in here to fill up the baptistry. I thought, you know, I told him, I said, if I believe what that guy believed, I said, everybody that I led to the Lord, I'd have them standing in the water when I led them to the Lord. And as soon as they said amen, I'd shove them under the water as fast as I could so that I'd take no chance that they'd die between saying amen and getting wet. baptism is something we do as a public testimony that we identified with the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. And baptism in the Bible was always done following salvation by immersion, because that's what the word means, and you can look that up in the Greek. It means to be immersed and then brought up out of the water, and that's what they did in the first early church there, and that's what we as Baptists have done down since the first century, and that's one of the reasons amongst many that I'm a Baptist myself today. Well, I appreciate talking about that and a number of things here tonight. Something else that I wanted to mention, and you got just a couple of minutes here. We might even possibly get another call in, 888-677-9673. This coming Tuesday is Election Day. And I just want to urge people listening, make sure you get out and vote. Nothing bothers me more than the day after an election to hear people say, I don't like who won. And you say, well, did you vote for them? Did you vote against them? Well, I didn't vote. Why not? Well, it was too much trouble. You know, I had things to do. I just didn't feel like it. I forgot. I'm sorry. We have an opportunity to let our voice be heard. And here in northeastern Ohio, we're considered, you know, the swing state of the swing states, I guess. And we should know that because President Obama and Governor Romney had been through here. I think you're bumping into them every time you turn around or somebody with their campaign. We went to our Bible study Friday night, and there was Romney's truck at the hotel there where we meet at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express. Now, Romney wasn't there. They just had his bus there getting ready to go to the airport to meet him yesterday morning. But it just seems like you're bumping into them everywhere you go. And the issues that we're facing in this election couldn't be clearer. And I'm not telling you who to vote for, but as I've said before, I'll gladly tell you how to vote. If you have values that you believe, you should vote those values rather than the party. And the reason I say that is because a lot of people go through and they vote. If there's an R after the name, that's what they put down. If there's a D after the name, that's what they put down. Sometimes that's not the best way to do it. But take a look at the candidates. If you've not voted in the early voting, make sure you get a look at the candidates and the judges as well. I don't know all the local judges in Cuyahoga County and things like that, but you can find this information out online. Talk to somebody at your church. Find out, ask yourself, is the pro-life issue important to me? And if it is, what are the positions of the various candidates, not just president, but also senator, representative, judges? What is their position on abortion? What is their position on the pro-life position? And just taking the presidential election as a guide, because certainly everybody listening has that, unless you're in Canada. You know, we have one ticket, the Obama-Biden ticket, that believes in abortion on demand and believes that churches and Christians should pay for morning after pills, which basically an abortificant kills the baby. And we have people who have voted against the first, for instance, as Senator President Obama voted against saving the life of babies born alive as a result of a botched abortion. And on the other hand, we have a ticket in the Romney-Ryan ticket that says that they believe that abortion should not happen unless it's saved the life of the mother or in the case of rape or incest. Now, if you look at the abortion issue, the pro-life issue, which one of those positions is closer to your position? If you believe in abortion on demand, then obviously the Obama-Biden ticket is your ticket. If you believe that abortion should be illegal or at least severely restricted, then the Romney-Ryan ticket is your ticket. Look at the same thing with defense of marriage, same-sex marriage versus traditional marriage. And we have, again, the Obama-Biden ticket that believes that men should be able to marry men, women should be able to marry women. Of course, President Obama instructed the Justice Department not to enforce the Defense of Marriage Act, which was passed by Congress. And by the way, constitutionally, he's obligated to enforce that. That's his constitutional role. And then we have on the Romney-Ryan side a ticket that is for traditional marriage between a man, one man, one woman, it believes in the Defense of Marriage Act, things of that nature. And so when we look at those things, if you believe in same-sex marriage, then the Obama-Biden ticket is your ticket. If you believe in traditional marriage and traditional family values, then the Romney-Ryan ticket would be your ticket. We can also look at character that's revealed through such things as the debacle of the Al-Qaeda terrorist attack last September 11, 2012, when Al-Qaeda assassinated United States Senator, or, I'm sorry, United States Ambassador and three other Americans, while our government officials, I don't have time to get into it, we discussed it last Friday, but it's very clear, the evidence is coming out, that the Secretary of State Hillary Clinton knew what was going on, the Defense Secretary Leon Panetta, as well as Vice President Biden, President Obama, a drone gave them the information, they saw the attacks, and they did nothing. It was in their power to allow people to go in do that, but they didn't. You ought to go in there, and they had real-time info, and yet they lied about it. And they accused Romney of being unpatriotic when he said it was a terrorist attack and we should have done something. Well, we're out of time. I encourage you, do your homework. Check out the positions of the candidates. Consider who they'll appoint as president in terms of Supreme Court justices, federal judges. Get out and vote. Pray. Ask God to direct you. And by all means, enjoy this week and the freedom you have as an American to exercise your right to vote. Good night. God bless.
You've just listened to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, where your questions and comments are always welcome. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. You can contact Pastor Al by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286, or email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. To learn more about Pastor